church.
Okay, so this is a little bit longer question. I'm sure there are way too many mentions, but can you share some of the names of quote-unquote Christian movements or groups who disguise their teachings as biblically sound that may be popular today? That's one thing. And if you can, what are some common teachings or phrases that can be used to identify these false teachers? Basically, they were saying word of life speaking things into existence, or New Age Christianity talking about energy.
Real quick, if you don't mind, I'll just, if I take it first, just because before I forget, I want to mention this. The whole word of life, word of faith kind of movement, I do want to clarify this too. There is the possibility, right? Like this happens with everybody. We say things that are wrong sometimes, right? Now you can believe when it comes to a certain topic, like for instance, like I know the things that I know. So the things that I'm sure about, I believe that those things are correct when I speak those things, right? But I say things wrong sometimes. I just even said about a message from 2016 that I'm like, you know what? On a whole, the point that I'm making in certain messages that I listened to from 2016, I agree with it still. The things that God has shown me, I agree with. For instance, that one thing that I found from a 2016 message just recently is something that I heard from somebody else that I know I was quoting. That wasn't something that God showed me and made like revelatory to me. And so I said it and I said something wrong. So I'm not saying that everything we say is wrong. Of course not. But because that is possible for someone that is a legitimate preacher to say something that is wrong, I do want to give you this little bit before we even go into this question. Just because someone is wrong on one thing does not mean they're a false teacher. Not saying that that's what the person was asking. But there's a lot of word of faith teachers. I would actually say, as far as movements go, word of faith, a lot of the teachers, if I had to listen to somebody right now, most of the teachers that I would listen to would probably identify as word of faith.
Yep.
And I disagree with them on a lot to the point where, and let me share this too. These are word of faith teachers, right? Or people that have kind of come from that background. I disagree with them to the extent that I cannot listen to them anymore. So don't get me wrong in thinking that, like, I don't listen to any teaching except from our church. That's it. Right now. I disagree enough with people that I just don't see eye to eye with them on enough where I just can't really listen to much more than really, or anything really right now, except what we teach at our church. And in the future, I pray that that won't be the case. But these people, though, I know are legitimate. They're from God. Some of them, I really believe in, are like the ones that I'm thinking about in my head right now. There are people that know the same Jesus I know. They just have enough inaccuracies and things that let me even share this too. There are people, two preachers in particular, if you've been around us for a while, you know the two teachers I'm talking about. Two teachers that would identify themselves probably as word of faith or coming from a word of faith background, right, at least. If I had to listen to anybody, I'd probably listen to one of them. Or actually a handful of other people that I know of that I would listen to that, again, come from that word of faith type background, mm-hmm. right? I'm not saying anything good or bad about word of faith. I don't know much about it. I'm just talking about these preachers that I have in my head. And these are people, though, that the things that I know that God has shown them that make their preaching unique from everybody else are the things that I agree with them on.
Yep.
It's all the other crap, pardon my French, that I know lots of people teach, traditional people, that they also teach, those are the areas I disagree with them on. The areas that I agree with them on are the things that make their teaching unique from everybody else, and they're the things that I know are the foundations to their ministry. And I agree with them on those things. Once they start expounding, though, on those things, there's enough garbage from I know word of faith stuff or just from traditional teaching that gets in there that's... There's enough in there that I just can't listen to them because of that. But don't get me wrong. Just because someone teaches something wrong, these are men of God that I respect. I would never say a cross word about them. And in fact, I think that for an unbeliever, they should be afraid to ever come against one of those men because those are men of God. I respect them with all, everything in my heart. I respect them as men of God that preach the gospel. They just have enough garbage from traditional teaching. And I recognize it's the same stuff I disagree with anyone else on too. And there's enough of that still remaining in their teaching that I just cannot listen to them. But on the things that are foundational that they talk about, they're preaching Jesus, though. Yep. If I had to recommend anyone, if this church didn't exist, it would be one of those two preachers. And you know what? I just want to make sure that that's said before we even get into this, because just because someone comes from a certain background or even has a certain title associated with them does not necessarily mean you got to examine their doctrine for what it is, not just because a title. You could be a man of God and speak something wrong, because I believe I'm a man of God and I'm a preacher of the gospel and I can say stuff wrong. And that's just the case, right? So we can disagree on certain things, but the foundations, I really believe with a lot of preachers, there's a good foundation. And I'll mind you, the preachers I have in my head are probably some of the people are very critical of them too. And I think overly critical sometimes too about things. So I don't know, you want me to just kind of keep going on that, or did you have something to interject about the question?
Well, the one thing though, so I mean, an issue when you talk about pointing out certain things, I mean, obviously we can spend a long time pointing out things that are, you know, they mentioned New Agey or of, you know, of whatever movement or whatever, but right. I think the main thing is, and I just turned to 1 John chapter 4, where he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And obviously, and these are talking about actual false prophets. Hereby, now, obviously, when we say, and we know that something that is being taught is wrong, I mean, just so we could remind everybody of the first thing that you said, it doesn't mean that we're saying that that teacher is a false prophet.
Right.
It just means that whatever is wrong should be called wrong and not hold back from saying that something is incorrect. In other words, I can tell someone, I can talk to somebody and tell them that I disagree and I believe that what they're saying is wrong, even if I respect them.
Correct.
So basically. So from the top verse there is saying that many false prophets have gone into the world. That's true, but because we disagree doctrinally on certain things with certain preachers, obviously does not make them false prophets. But then he says, hereby then, here's how you know the Spirit of God, where the Spirit that prophesies, it says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. So what that's saying there is that it's you can have a person that is what you said before. You know, we preach the gospel, we believe, right, that what we're saying is of God, but yet we can say something wrong. So that which is said wrong is not of God.
Right?
So I mean, and I know that sounds pretty basic, but
something we got from somewhere else, right, or whatever.
But it's just not of God. So how can you tell if somebody comes to the church here or somebody's listening here, how do they know that if what we're saying is of God or isn't it?
Or even to actually tell the difference between an actual false prophet and someone that, exactly, that is legitimate.
Right. So it applies
both ways. Both ways, right.
How do you tell the difference between an actual false prophet and someone that is of God? And how do you tell the difference between something that is not true, that is coming from a man of God or a woman of God, from something that is right in what they said, right? Within the exact same service, how do you tell? And it says, so basically everything that relates to everything that comes from what Jesus Christ has finished for us, right? Everything that we have because of what he's done are things that we have. And we were saying it before, if it's of Christ, then it is of us as well, because we're heirs and joint heirs with him. If it is something that he's, you know, if it, the things of our inheritance or things to be spoken of, he even said, and I have this one additional verse in Colossians, where it says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Like if any time that we move an iota away from the gospel, away from Jesus, from what he finished for us, that's dangerous territory, because you're going to end up going in a direction that you don't want to go in.
Right.
So just those two things, you know, right, like we said, how to tell the difference between a false prophet and someone that is of God, and how to tell the difference when you hear someone that is of God, when you hear someone that you respect, how do you distinguish the things that are of God and the things that aren't of God when you're listening?
Right, and obviously, like you said, it's ultimately, I know this is a little, it's broad, But you can be, you get more and more discerning when you learn Jesus more and more. But ultimately, if someone brings a gospel that is absent of Jesus, and not just, like Ms. Kim was even, when we were talking before, not just saying the word Jesus, but, because obviously anybody can do that, but actually when you know they're legitimate, when they're actually bringing to you and trying to teach you what Jesus accomplished for you at the cross. Not just that Jesus died at the cross, but as the Bible would say, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that follows. For instance, I'm not telling somebody what Jesus accomplished for you at the cross, and this is important for everybody to understand. I'm not preaching what Jesus accomplished at the cross by saying that Jesus died on the cross, because that's the action he took. What did he accomplish? When we talk about, for instance, like the conversation we had about eternal life, and, you know, that's for our physical bodies. That's us talking about what Jesus accomplished at the cross. You see, so you have to understand, it's not about saying the word cross. I mean, the word cross is actually not even in the New Testament. It's actually the word pole anyway, you know, which might lead me into a different point later on, because I did want to make a quick point. Just remember I said the word pole. Just remind me afterwards. But so ultimately, obviously, that is the point of discernment, that you have to be able to tell, is this person really preaching to me? And when it comes to the gospel, what did Jesus accomplish for me at the cross? What is the glory that he gave me? Because a lot of people, a lot of Christians even, obviously believe that Jesus died on the cross, but what, they go to churches every Sunday that talk about Jesus died, Jesus died, Jesus died, and then it becomes like, well, Jesus died for us, and now, you know, we're indebted to him back to owe him our life. Okay, that's not telling me what Jesus accomplished for me. That's somehow misconstruing this to be something that I now owe him. So things like that, or things like, you know, Jesus died on the cross and then not telling us that we have any benefits. So, you know, everybody dies and we still get sick and we still do all this stuff and we still go through life and problems happen and we live in a fallen world, but Jesus died for us, so your sins have been taken away. Like, wait a second. That's not giving me much glory. What did Jesus actually accomplish then? If I'm living mostly like the world with just now a relationship with God, then is that, to tell me, is that someone teaching me what Jesus accomplished for me at the cross? No, it's talking about the cross, but it's not telling me what it accomplished. Very, very important. The glory that follows that the Bible talks about there, I think it's in 2 Peter, chapter 1, I think it is. The glory that follows that he's talking about, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that follows, which is what the Bible testifies about, that glory there is not just like something that he just threw in. That's important to understand, that the glory that follows, he's talking about, yeah, okay, talk about the cross, that's what caused it, but you got to talk about what the cross accomplished. Because when you leave believers feeling like, you know, just as condemned and God loves you, but, you know, he's in heaven, he has this affection for you, but you're walking through life like a mortal man still, I mean, what did he really do then? You know what I mean? Like, it just, I feel like not much was accomplished. So things like that obviously are very important. And the discerning point between an actual false prophet and someone who's preaching the gospel is where they're leaving Jesus out. You have the verse there? It's 1 Peter 1:11. I forgot. That's easy one to remember, because 1:1:1:1. But I will say this too, in reference to as far as the finished work is concerned and things like that. So you want someone that's going to be teaching you what Jesus accomplished for you in the flesh, which is what it says there. As far as the thing I mentioned before, don't get caught up in titles, okay? Don't get caught up in titles. If someone calls himself a Hindu and they're preaching the finished work of Jesus, just accept what they say. And I know that sounds offensive to a lot of people, because you're getting caught up in the title. And just because then someone calls himself a Christian or an evangelical, you're swayed and you'll attend a church just because you hear the word Jesus, you hear the word cross, and you hear the word Christian, so you go there. We do not relate with the typical term Christian today, because our doctrine is far enough away from the typical evangelical church today that I don't mind someone saying Christ-like or something like that. But what Christian has come to mean today, we're not preaching the same things that they preach. So it's hard to even relate with even that term, what people mean when they say that term. Not that we don't relate with being Christ-like or something like that. I'm not saying that. But don't get caught up in titles. Because, let me give you an example. I haven't really shared much about this before, but there is someone that, there's a podcast I listen to. It's like a news podcast I listen to. I don't listen to it all the time. I listen to it sometimes, and I skip through it. because it's just what you got to do. And again, don't be offended by this. He is a Mormon. I didn't know he was a Mormon. And here's why I didn't know he was a Mormon, right? Now, mind you, okay, you can listen. All the news people that you listen to, just so you know, they're probably not even saved, and they're of different religions or of no religion. So, of course, you can listen to a newscaster talking about physical things. Right. If you're not talking about spiritual things, you don't have to be saved to know physical things. You know, oh, this couch is here. An unsaved person can tell me that. It's going to be rainy outside. An unsaved person can tell me that. So, anyway, before anyone gets on my case about, oh, you listen to a Mormon, the news podcast with a Mormon, like I said, you don't need to be saved to know the news. You need to be saved to know a perspective on the news. But anyhow, here's why I didn't know that he was a Mormon. I thought, oh, he's probably a Christian. Because even every time you start talking about God, it was the same old stuff that I disagree with. So I would skip it, but it wasn't anything new. It was the same old stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So you'd say, oh, if I go to an evangelical Christian church, somehow that's better if they're teaching that than if I were to go to a Mormon church. Now, I'm not saying I agree with Mormons. I'm just saying, though, that the things I disagree with him on, that he was talking about practically about his life and how he relates to God, is the same stuff I disagree with every evangelical church. So if I'm going to get into titles, I'm like, oh, Mormon, oh, no, you know, I can't listen to you because you're a Mormon. And again, I'm not saying I agree with the Mormon religion, but hear me out, though. But the things practically, I know they believe a lot of funny stuff, too. They add stuff to the Bible and all that. But let me just say this, though. On a practical day-to-day level, how he relates to God, the stuff I was disagreeing with him on is the same stuff I disagree with any other Christian.
But he sounded like any other Christian.
And I thought he was just, he's a Christian, you know?
Not that you're not saying that you agreed with what he said.
Right.
You're actually saying you disagreed with what he said, but he sounded just like any other Christian.
Right. And if we're going to get caught up in titles, it's not worth it. Yep. If you call yourself a Mormon and you agree with the finished work of Jesus, you could have believed a whole bunch of other wacky stuff. But if you agree with the finished work of Jesus, that when Jesus did at the cross was to give you new birth, and you agree that the Holy Spirit, you know, that has been given to you through the finished work of Jesus, not by any work, not adding another work, not by saying, oh, yeah, the finished work, but I also got to go door to door or anything like that. I'm just saying, because there's a lot of cults and religions that add to it, right? I'm just saying just the finished work of Jesus. That no, but I will say this too, right? Because a lot of cults do that. Right. I don't know much about the Mormon religion or any other religion. I don't know a lot about that. I don't study that kind of stuff. Right. It's not worth it. But a lot, they'll say, oh, yeah, finished work. And then, this. Right. So that's a cult because that's untrue because you're adding to the finished work of Jesus. It's not just the finished work. And I get to receive freely apart from works because of the work of Jesus. But guess what?
We do the same thing.
Evangelicals do the same thing. Why is it better than a Jehovah's Witness? If someone's a Jehovah's Witness and listening to this, I don't know anything about.
It's not about a title. It's the very thing you're saying.
But right, and I'm not want to misrepresent to you what a Jehovah's Witness believes because I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. So, but from what I understand, though, from what I've heard, of course, by the grace of God, I receive freely through because of what Jesus did. But they knock Jesus down in different ways, and more so than we would. And there's a lot of additions. Let me just say this, but rather than attacking Jehovah's Witness right now. In general, there's a lot of additions that people add to the finished work. That, yes, finished work, but you got to be a part of this group, though, too. You got to be a part of this number of people that God has specially chosen. Or, yes, the finished work, and you got to go door to door. Oh, yes, the finished work, and you got to witness to this many people. Or, in the evangelical church today, look what Jesus did for, we'll have altar calls. Look what Jesus did for you. And you just come up here, and if you just give your life to Jesus, you'll be saved. That's as cultish as anything else.
Or you have to be dunked in water. Or you have to do communion so many times.
It's not just Jesus.
And I tell you what the bigger problem is. Well, it's just the problem, right? That even, cause you mentioned something before about churches, about going to, how do you pick your church? Well, most people, even that are quote unquote evangelical, and they move to another state and they want to go to a different church. If you hear normally the questions that they ask, do you guys speak in tongues? Are you a Bible believing church?
Are you right?
It's all of these things. But what I have never, ever in all of the years that I've been in ministry, I have never had somebody come up to me and say, in this church, do you guys preach Jesus Christ and him crucified and the finished work of Jesus and the glory that followed? Never. You don't. And that is the basis. The basis,
the only question,
the only thing that is actually important, because you could talk in tongues all day long and be preaching to people a useless other gospel. So it's like we major on all this stuff, and the thing, honestly, that is the thing that ought to be always the correcting meter, the rule by which everything is gauged for us to know the spirit of error and the spirit that is of God is Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the glory that would follow.
Right. And again, that's why I go back to two. You cannot go by titles. Just don't go by a title. Honestly, I would go to a Mormon church if that specific Mormon church happened to be preaching the gospel and teaching what Jesus did and not adding to it. Because you know why? I don't care what you call yourself. Call yourself a Buddhist, a Hindu. What do you believe? Yep. If you're going to talk to someone and discredit someone because they call themselves a Mormon or this or that or the other thing, maybe you don't agree, and rightly so, agree with the weird stuff that maybe this cult or that cult typically believes. That's fine. But what I'm saying is, ask someone what they believe. Ask a church what they preach. Don't get caught up in a title and think somehow a church is either validated or discredited based off of the lump denomination that they associate with. Because you call yourself an evangelical doesn't mean you're any more saved than a Mormon. It just doesn't, or Catholic or anything like that. When I'm talking to you, you could say, I'm Catholic. And I would say, what do you believe about Jesus? Let's talk. And you're going to have to pull that out. But you say, oh, I'm an evangelical Christian, blah, 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 blah. What do you believe, though? Because if you have, I've said this before, people in evangelical churches today that aren't even non-denominational, we say we're non-denominational, which that's not really associating with something. It's saying more what you're not rather than saying what you are, obviously. But you know, and we're a non-denominational church, evangelical church, Bible-believing church. Okay, I'm not impressed. Any more than if you said you were Mormon. I'm just not impressed because I need to hear what you're speaking about Jesus. You need to tell me. And if I go to an evangelical church and they say, just come up here and give your life to Jesus, and if you will just turn your life and surrender your life over to Jesus, you'll be saved today. That is baloney. And I would say another word if we maybe weren't in the setting. Mm-hmm. I will just say it. That's bull. You know why? Because you don't get saved because you give your life to Jesus. You get saved because you receive the fact that He gave His life up for you. Right. That is cultish. That is devilish. That is demonic. That is not something that, if that person that's preaching is saved, it's not something you got from your born-again spirit. It's something from you got from the devil out in the world somewhere. And just because you said that, and because you call yourself an evangelical non-denominational church, doesn't mean any more people got saved off of your message than if they would have gone to a Buddhist temple.
And you know what? Just to kind of mention
Don't be impressed.
Just to mention what you just said. You said.
What do you believe?
About giving your life to Jesus, right? And honestly, most people, that is actually how they got up out of their seat
right.
and walked an aisle, or somebody told them, you know, I want to talk to you just about giving your life to Jesus. But and to most people, that does not sound right. That sounds correct.
Right.
It does sound right. Right. But then let's go back to what we've been saying. What does you giving up your life to God have to do with Jesus Christ giving up His life for you? Nothing.
Nothing.
It has absolutely nothing to do with it.
And give me a verse that says you're saved by giving your life to Jesus.
Exactly.
Give me a verse.
So that's like, how do you know the difference? You know, and I get it. When someone is hurting and you put that out there and you say, oh, come up and you'll give your life to Jesus and you'll be saved, then okay, so you're hurting, you identify, so you come up and you do that. But it's the same problem that people come to when they say, you know what, if you're hurting financially right now and you have, you know, it doesn't even matter if it's your mortgage money that's in your pocketbook, if you give right now $1,000, God will give you $10,000. So you fall into that trap because why? Because you're hurting and you're identifying with what somebody's saying, but you're not measuring it by what the Lord has done, right? The only way that you're blessed, you are never blessed because you give $1,000 and you'll get $10,000. The only way that the blessing of God comes upon our lives is because of what Jesus Christ has done. And as you have faith in Him and as you continue to listen to Him and you know and you grow in your knowledge, then more of what's on the inside of you will overflow into your life and affect your life. But it's just if we can just stay with the simplicity of the gospel, we would be so good. So good.
Let me give you an example, right? I don't know if this is Mormon or anything. I've just heard this before, right? So I'm not trying to misrepresent anyone's, you know, cult here. Right? I'm not, and again, I really want to know what the individual believes, to know if someone's saved or preaching a gospel, not anything else. But let me give you two examples. Go to an evangelical non-denominational church and they preach, this is typical, right? That tithing is where blessing starts, right? Tithing with a happy heart, tithing, that's where blessing starts. Okay, so you're teaching the church that's where blessing starts, right? Yeah, it's crazy. They're teaching that, and they're teaching, if that's all that they teach, right? If all that they teach is that you get saved by giving your life up to the Lord to serve him for the rest of your life, right? If that's what they teach, and let's say a Mormon believes that when Jesus came in the flesh, he actually married somebody and had kids with somebody, right? But they teach, you know, oh yeah, Jesus did that. Like he had kids with Mary Magdalene or something like that. I don't know. I've heard of these things. It may not be Mormons that believe this. I'm not sure. But right, just weird stuff, right? Ultimately. But let's just say that's one of the weird things. When Jesus came in the flesh, he it's not in the Bible, but okay. But he had kids with Mary Magdalene. But he did die on the cross for you, and Jesus was perfect and was exactly as God is. And because all of who God is became man and gave up his life, took what we deserve, and now we get everything that he deserves based solely off his work at the cross, guess who's saved? The one that calls himself a Mormon. Guess who's saved? The one that believes that Jesus came down and had a kid with Mary Magdalene. That's crazy. That's crazy, and it's not accurate. And it's true. The second you start adding stuff to the Bible or taking stuff away, yeah, you're in dangerous territory with that. I understand that. It's dangerous territory because now you just can change it whatever you want, and yeah, it's dangerous. But if you got that right, though, despite the fact that, because mind you, right, if you know what Jesus did, you don't got to know everything to be saved. We just said, even we say stuff wrong sometimes. So I'm saved. I don't know everything. I say things wrong sometimes. So guess who's saved out of those two people? Not the one that said, I'm an evangelical non-denominational church. Do not be impressed with a title. Inquire about what one believes. I don't care what you call yourself. And I'm not going to talk to someone who says they're a Mormon and just assume something about them until I get what they believe. And I'm not going to talk to a Catholic and say, I'm just going to assume that you believe. And again, it's okay to know the overarching belief that certain denominations and people have because, yeah, of course, if you actually, believe what I've heard about certain denominations or religions or things like that, yeah, okay, you wouldn't be saved because that is the typical thing that happens. But you gotta not be impressed with titles, though. Yep. Get what you believe. When Jesus comes back, it says, will he find faith in the earth? He's not gonna discriminate between what denomination you're a part of, whether you call yourself a Mormon or a Catholic or a Hindu or a Buddhist. It's, did you believe what my son did? And did you put faith in him? And did you not add to it?
You know, just one more thing to add to that. That we get on this kick, right, where we want to learn. We want to learn the ways of the Jehovah Witness and what they believe. We want to learn what the Mormon, and then what we do is we get a whole bunch of stuff. Like we put everything that they believe and everything that we believe that contradicts what they believe. And we think that that's the way that you can win a Jehovah Witness over to the Lord is by contradicting everything that they believe. And yet, because what we're saying applies actually also when you're ministering to someone, regardless of who they are, whether they're a Mormon or whether they're a Buddhist, whether they have no belief at all, it really is just preaching Jesus to them. The point, it's not about trying to debunk every single theory that a Jehovah's Witness has or that a Mormon has, because it's the one truth that will fix all that other stuff.
And knowing the truth, right? About Jesus makes you very discerning.
Right? It's the one thing. It's the one thing that will, once you know the truth of the gospel, once you know the one thing that it is that God requires of you, that's huge, because there are so many things that I used to believe being saved, so many things that I used to believe while still being saved that were incorrect, that it was a few basic things that the Lord established us on, and it's like a domino effect, right? It's like a domino effect. Like you see, oh my God. There are some people that call themselves Christians that don't believe that they're saved unless they get water baptized, because they say that the Bible says that baptism saves, so therefore if I die and I'm not water baptized, then I'm not saved.
In which case, if you actually wholeheartedly believe that, I mean, you're actually not saved.
Then you're not even saved at all. But we think, you know, it's like appalling. You know, like it's just like a filth to you to talk to certain people because of what they believe. And yet, but it's the main thing is that every single person, no matter what they're called, like you're saying, no matter what their title is, but if they do not believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and that is the only way for them to be saved, that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father, that he is the one and only single thing that you could ever do and have faith in Jesus to ever be saved from this world, then it's wrong. And yeah, that probably puts everybody in a big
problem. And let me just very quick, I know we probably want to get to another question here, but let me just state this also. You know, most people, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, evangelical, doesn't really matter, or any denomination in between, right, or outside of that, people that believe in Jesus or some version of him are usually never going to tell you that they add to the finished work of Jesus. But you know this is true, right? You know they've added to it if it affects your either your salvation or it affects how you receive from God when you don't do that thing. Yep. So for instance, if I say, oh, I have to go door to door, right, and preach to people. I have to do that. But I believe in the finished work of Jesus. Okay, so aren't you adding to the finished work? Well, no, I'm not, it's still about what Jesus did, though. It's not about the door-to-door, it's still about what Jesus did. Okay, so if you don't go door-to-door, does that affect how you receive from God? Are you going to receive from God the same way? Are you saved the exact same way? And will God work through you and operate in your life unhindered without doing that? And that's hard for a lot of people to say because, oh, yeah, but you got to be in the will of God, though, because, you know, okay, then I don't have respect for your doctrine anymore. Okay, so for instance, people will say this also about tithing. This is in the evangelical church today, right? Oh, and by evangelical, I don't really know what that is exactly. I just know it's usually like the non-denominational type evangelical Christian. It's almost like your traditional Christianity today, whatever. Your Bible-believing Christians. But just add this. Oh, no, it's not by tithing that you're actually blessed, Pastor Jose. It's not by tithing. It's that tithing is a show that you really trust God. And it's by that trust in God, in trust in Jesus, that he's your supply. Tithing is just a way to show that. Okay, so you know what I would say then? I would say, okay, so it's not really by tithing. It's just because you really trust Jesus and what he did, and tithing somewhere or another is a show of that. Okay, so then you, because it's not really that you're blessed by the tithing itself, but just based off the what you know about Jesus, and tithing is just a show of that. So then if you take the tithing away, you should be able to be blessed just the same, right? If it were possible, right, in your mind, to really know Jesus the same way and to trust Jesus and his work the same way and not have tithed, you should be able to be blessed the same way, right? No, people are not going to let that go.
Right.
And you're adding to the finished work there. And trust me, I'm not teaching against giving to church. I'm just talking about the whole tithe concept of being blessed based off your giving. You're adding when you are adding to the finished work when that work has to be present in order to receive. Because if it weren't by works, none of those works would have to be present for God to operate through you, not just for you to be saved, for God to work through you. And, you know, even people, you know, you hear stories about these, healing-type ministers and stuff like that, and it turns out after all these years of a healing ministry and stuff, they were cheating on their wife all this time. Does that surprise me? No. Do I approve of that behavior? Absolutely not. It's not a good example of what Jesus did, and it's not really who they are in their spirit. Ultimately, right, that's the point. It's not who they are. It's not according to their new nature. So that's why it's wrong. It's not according to who they really are. But does it surprise me that God was moving through them unhindered? Absolutely not, because it has zero to do with your works. Just like Samson, women issues and all this stuff, is named right along King David and Jephthah and all these other people as people that had a good report from God, because when a work has to be present in order for you to receive from God, you've added to the finished work. Because if it was really just about the finished work, no work should have to be present to receive. Works come afterwards. As you grow in Jesus, your behavior changes and you're transformed, but it's not a prerequisite to receiving anything from God. You can be healed just as much when you're committing adultery as when you're not.
Yep.
As offensive that people might take that, it doesn't matter. Adultery will go away when you get to know Jesus. If you're committing adultery, when you renew your mind more, God will transform that. I don't approve of the behavior, but it's not a prerequisite to receiving if it's really all about Jesus.
Yeah.
The only prerequisite, mind you, is faith in Jesus. That is biblically. If you say, oh, it's all about the finished work of Jesus, you don't even need to believe. No. You need, your consent on your end is to merely believe what he has done.